You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to NFL Live. We've got a huge night in the NBA on ESPN at 10 Eastern. LeBron James versus Steph Curry with a playoff spot on the line. But coming up, we'll have the best Week 17 NFL play-in games of all time. But before we get to all of that, let's focus on the stars. Swagoo, you start us off. Which matchup of NFL stars would you most want to see in a play-in game?
It, for me, is Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. And listen, I don't know where the hell Aaron Rodgers is going to play, but I would love to see him square off against Patrick Mahomes because those are two gunslingers, two acknowledged as the best in the league. I want to see them two dudes square off, man.
Hey, Marcus. Like, I feel you there. I completely agree with the idea of Mahomes and Rodgers, but man, like Mahomes and Brady right now, every single time I just get excited for it. You know it's going to be awesome. It is must watch, must see entertainment. It doesn't even matter if you're a football fan. You know you're tuning in for that greatness, and we know right now Tom Brady owns that matchup because of the most recent Super Bowl, but you know Patrick will come for that throne.
What's up, fellas? Glad to be here. I think y'all got confused on the assignment. Both quarterbacks can't play at the same time. I want to see Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Two guys have been together 20 years. They've won Super Bowls together. Now there's no love lost between them. We got offensive genius, defensive genius. Let's see who the real genius is, baby.
I'll raise you one more here, Jeff Saturday, because Bill Belichick ain't making any tackles next year. That much is for sure. Devontae Adams facing off against Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL versus arguably the best defensive back in the NFL. We saw it a little bit last year, but give me 60 minutes of these two going head-to-head. You know Jalen Ramsey will never back down from a challenge. You also know there's no defensive back that can shut down Devontae Adams, a touchdown-making machine. And with that, we say hello to you. You saw the crew already. You saw the guys. We've got Marcus Spears and Jeff Saturday. Another Jeff and Jeff Saturday. I'm Field Yates. And let's get this thing rolling in San Francisco. NBA talk throughout the show, where it will eventually be Trey Lance's time in the Bay Area. But before he was taken third overall by the Niners in the draft, the team had to make sure its incumbent starter was aware of the plan, with 49ers general manager John Lynch saying this about telling Jimmy Garoppolo that they were planning on taking a quarterback. Here's the good news. Jimmy, we don't want you to go anywhere. We want you to be here, and our ownership has made the commitment that we can do that. I'm sure you want to be the long-term guy. There's a flip side to that. You still could be, because he's going to have a chance to compete and earn that job, and we're just going to let that play out. All right, so Jeff Darlington, imagine that you were Jimmy Garoppolo and you were listening to John Lynch. Your bank account will be happy, but what would your mindset and your reaction be to that quote from John Lynch?
Look, I love John Lynch, but I also, the way it starts, here's the good news, Jimmy. That's like my wife walking up to me and saying, here's the good news, Jeff. I found another man if you can still stay in the house. Like, I'm rolling my eyes there a little bit, and I'm finding myself a new house. And I think that Jimmy has to understand, of course, that I'm going to forget the analogy I just made because we don't want to keep it going here. But Jimmy still does recognize, certainly, that he's got a really nice situation with the 49ers in terms of the roster and the ability to, for him to put himself in a good situation. I understand it's a tough spot for John Lynch to be in with that conversation. It's super awkward. But I'm sure Jimmy Garoppolo is looking at it and saying, yeah, cool, you cast me aside for somebody else. That being said, like from a self-preservationist model, which is what Jimmy Garoppolo has to face at this point, he understands that, look, I can go in here, I can play really well for the 49ers, I can potentially make it awkward for John Lynch moving on to Trey Lance, and I can move somewhere else, get paid a lot of money, and continue with my career. By all means, John Lynch and Jimmy Garoppolo have handled this very professionally to date, even if I'm sure Garoppolo with a little bit of an eye roll when he hears Lynch say those words.
I think what they're doing is masterful. You're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo engaged just in case Trey Lance isn't ready. And Trey Lance doesn't have a lot of snaps in the last 2 years. So you still keep the guy that you at least know can operate this offense at the level you would want it to. You're trying to take it to the next level with Trey Lance. But the bottom line is, when you traded all that stuff away and went up to 3, you told Jimmy Garoppolo he was no longer your future and no longer your quarterback longer your starter. Because I remember Kyle Shanahan saying, we wanted to trade up to get a starter, period. So Trey Lance, if it's not week one, it'll be soon. The capital that you've given up, you already know who Jimmy Garoppolo is. You've been around him long enough to understand that he can play at a level good enough to get you far in this league. But you're trying to win a Super Bowl. And I keep reiterating that to people, guys. Trey Lance was drafted to win a Super Bowl because the San Francisco 49ers have already been there with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they just didn't close the door and get it done. So the conventional thought, the conventional wisdom is that when you trade up to get a quarterback, he's the guy that's going to take you over the hump. Couldn't do it with Matt Ryan. Couldn't do it with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's hoping Trey Lance is that guy.
Yeah, I agree with the whole Trey Lance thing that Marcus just gave me. The only thing is, I think the timing is wrong. I think this is Jimmy G's team for this year. You know, there's an old movie, Major League Baseball movie. It talks about, we got one thing to do, go win it all. That's what Jimmy G's got to be thinking. Make it as uncomfortable as you can possibly make it, right? Go get
That's
this
right.
thing. And here's the crazy part. We keep talking about Jimmy G. This guy was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. He missed one throw that could have Patrick Mahomes' legacy all kinds of messed up. So I understand that he may not be the future, but he is their present. John Lynch understands that. Keep him excited about being the starting quarterback. And then when Lance is ready, then you bring him in. Here's the thing about Lance. He hadn't played much college football. He didn't play at all. But he played one game last season. So it's going to take him time to get inundated into the NFL. Don't hurry it, because your roster is the best. You gave it all away to get to that third pick. But your team and your roster has a chance to win right now. Strike while the iron's hot with Jimmy G. Then trade Lance in the future. I think it all works out great for John Lynch if they just play with patience, understanding he gives you the best chance to win right now.
Okay, we're going to go and take the gloves off and have a fight right now, because I've been listening to this scenario. I've been listening to this Super Bowl scenario about the one missed throw. There was a lot of time in between that throw
sure.
and the rest of the game that Jimmy Garoppolo could have closed the door. Listen, I'm not saying Jimmy didn't play well, but I get it. The throw to Emmanuel Sanders is what everybody brings up. There was about a 15-20 minute stretch in the middle of that where the San Francisco 49ers offense couldn't create anything. I'm hoping that's what Kyle Shanahan is thinking about when he's looking at that particular game. Yes, you are absolutely right, Jeff,
listen,
Saturday, about that throw and the legacy of Patrick Mahomes being different. But Jimmy Garoppolo had a amount of time in between the last play, between that time and that throw, where if you potentially have an elite quarterback, I'll tell you this. If it was Patrick Mahomes in that situation, that probably would have turned into a blowout.
Yes. Listen, I fully agree with you. What I'm telling you is, I don't think Jimmy G is the future of the franchise. It's already been written, right? That everybody understands where that's going. But what I do believe is, for Trey Lance to get, he's got a shortened offseason because of, we're going to have an extended regular season, which means you're going to get fewer cuts at it in the preseason. So it's going to be like a fast pace for him to get in. We already know he's played competition that's not nearly NFL quality. You and I know that. The schemes on the defensive side, all the different things. What I'm saying is, the 49ers are poised to push in the NFC. This is a very good football team. You don't have to have a stud quarterback yet. And I agree with you. Will he end up being better than Jimmy G in this offense? For sure. It's QB friendly. It's all those things. But what I am saying is, if you're the 49ers and you know you can win now with Jimmy G as you're bringing along your guy, it's a much better option. You get everybody involved, right? I mean, I just look at it from the team perspective.
Yes.
You can still win even having Jimmy G back there.
Yeah, this much we know about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got to be available, because over the past three seasons, Jimmy G has started just 25 of 48 possible games for the 49ers, of course, due to injury. So if Trey Lance eventually starts, which we think will happen at some point in the next year or two, staying on the field is going to be the key to unlocking his potential in that 49ers offense. We got so much more to come on NFL Live, but up next, Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow are slated to be ready to start in week one. We discuss who was under more pressure this season, and later, with LeBron and Steph Curry facing off tonight in the playing game on ESPN, our NFL Live crew each picks which NFL team they would want for a one-game play-in scenario.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The long-awaited junior welterweight unification bout between the WBC and WBO champ Jose Ramirez and the IBF and WBA champ Josh Taylor is Saturday night in Las Vegas, and it's on ESPN. And of course, ESPN Plus, the main card starts at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. A pair of quarterbacks coming off of major injuries last season are shaping up for a week one return, as both Joe Burrow and Dak Prescott are on track to return to start the season. Burrow suffered a major knee injury on November 22nd against Washington, while Prescott suffered a gnarly ankle injury in Dallas' fourth game of 2020. Prescott's injury didn't impact his financial fortune, as he earned a lucrative four-year deal this offseason. Marcus, as we look at these two quarterbacks, who do you believe is under more pressure in 2021?
Oh, it's not close, babyface. It's Dak Prescott. Dakota Rain Prescott. Listen, the money. That's the obvious part. But you also think about the pressure of this team, right? You look at the NFC East division, and he's the best quarterback in this division. So it's going to be upon his shoulders to win this division. And I know what the Washington football team has as a defense. I know what all of the talk is about what teams are doing, and the New York Giants can be the most balanced if Daniel Jones shows up. But we know the most highly scrutinized position in football is playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, let alone fresh off of an injury, let alone fresh off of getting paid after it was a three-year battle all over the place. Television and the NFL, everybody, like, Dak should get paid. Okay, you're paid. For all intents and purposes, your team will be healthy. You have the best offense in your division. It's put up a shut up. There is no longer any reason for anybody to think about Dak Prescott in terms of not being paid how he should be paid. All of that is under the bridge. Now we go to being highly scrutinized, highly criticized, and that's all of the $140, $150, $160 million quarterbacks. That's what comes with the territory. That's where Dak is. He should win this division because he's the best quarterback in it.
Yeah, Marcus, I would actually take it even a step further and say I can't really think of a player, maybe even in professional sports, with as much pressure, at least in America here, under as much pressure as Dak Prescott is in this situation. And I'm talking about the whole deal, the whole ball of wax, the fact that it's the Dallas Cowboys, the fact that Jerry Jones is getting up there in years and he's doing whatever it takes right now to finally get another Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm talking everything, the millions of dollars. And by the way, I'll add this. I think Prescott is primed and ready to handle that pressure. He has sort of groomed himself into this role. He understands what's going to come, the magnitude of being in that market. But in my mind, I don't think there's a person in football, and maybe not even in sports, who has as much pressure on them right now as Dak Prescott.
That's right.
Jeff, I like that you use whole, man, because you're absolutely right. As an individual, I look at that guy in Indianapolis and Carson Wentz, man, with all of the talk about what he went through in Philly and how he was as a teammate and obviously his performance on the field. Frank Reich stuck his neck out there, so that takes a little bit off of him. But I'm with you. Holistically, this is Dak Prescott pressure moment because he's in a situation to win, and he's also, to your point, the quarterback of America's team.
There it is, Swagoo. That's right. We know that playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys is just a little bit different. So, Jeff, Saturday, obviously the doctors are going to decide the timeline here for Joe Burrow. But are you at all concerned about him starting right away in week one?
Absolutely. Listen, you read in the papers and read all the information. It talks about, hey, thumbs up. You know, he's ready to go. He's going to be ready. That ain't football ready. You know, like we're out there throwing around and it's 7-on-7 and nobody touches. You're wearing a red jersey. When it turns on, this thing can get scary in a hurry. And I think when I think about Joe Burrow, I understand they go with Chase. They feel like they're going to help him with weapons on the outside, which you appreciate. But ultimately, this game is won and lost in the trenches, and you have got to protect Joe Burrow. If you looked at his effectiveness last year, and I'll be honest with you, he was better than I thought he was going to be. It was because he could pull it down, go get yards with his legs. He could do those type of things. He could extend plays. Well, with that ACL and coming off of it, I think teams are going to give him a heavy dose of pressure to his face. See if he moves his feet. Can he still be accurate? Bring it from the backside. Move him out of the pocket. Can he throw on the run? All those different, you know, schemes and attitudes that defenses bring to you, I think that's what he's going to see early in the season. And listen, when you get happy feet as a quarterback, the ball tends to sail, right? You don't make great decisions. You try to get the ball out of your hand. It's not timely. I think that's what teams are going to try to pressure him. It's not always about sacks. But with that Cincinnati Bengal offensive line, he's going to get pressure. And when you get pressure in your face, it changes the game, especially when you've lost the ability to go be mobile and go make plays with your legs, which I don't think he'll have back till week 5 or 6 of the regular season.
Yeah, certainly won't just be Joe Burrow. His reshaped offensive line going to play a big part in that as well. It's also not just quarterbacks who are coming back from major injuries last season. Let's move to some of the non-quarterbacks as we get into quick reads that are returning from injuries. Swagoo, who's got your eyes on this season?
Yeah, y'all remember this guy, CMC, Christian McCaffrey, down there in Carolina.
Yeah.
Got a brand new quarterback in Sam Darnold, but this is one of the most dynamic players to come into this league from the running back position, spreading him out in the slot. Christian McCaffrey makes a difference. He is an impact player. He changes defensive schemes. He's going to help every other offensive player for the Carolina Panthers. Having him back makes this team that much better, and it's not going to be an easy out on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
Love it. I'm gonna go with another impact player. How about my man Nick Bosa? All we talk about is quarterbacks with the 49ers. How about one of the best defensive ends in the NFL? You talk about pressure. You talk about neutralizing offenses. We saw what happened in the Super Bowl when you can get edge pressure. Everything collapses. How about Nick Bosa coming to that 49ers front, man? This guy is insane to watch. He's got great lean. Can't wait for him to be back.
Yeah, Bosa is a beast. I'm going to hop over to the other side of the ball and go Saquon Barkley, though. We remember that he got hurt in Week 2 of last year. As unfortunate as it was, at least it gave him an entire year to recover. I expect this guy to be an absolute beast this season. He has missed some time each of the last 2 years, most of last year and the year before that. We probably forget as well. He had a high ankle sprain, but he was the offensive rookie of the year, and I think we're going to see that guy again this season coming up.
A lot of pieces in place around Daniel Jones for the Giants to make a big step this upcoming season. And coming up, after disappointing ends to last year's season for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, we examine what Big Ben still has in the tank and find out why Marcus thinks the steel curtain could be closing in Pittsburgh.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
While his future was at one point uncertain, Ben Roethlisberger is back in Pittsburgh for his 18th season after restructuring his contract a few months ago. Last season, Big Ben had the Steelers off to a great start, leading them to an 8-0 record while throwing 18 touchdowns, just 4 picks. But in his last 7 starts, Roethlisberger saw a QBR drop off, his touchdown interception ratio drop, plus his yards per attempt. It's not concerning, though, to Steelers defensive lineman Cam Hayward, who thinks their quarterback still has plenty of gas left in the tank.
We know he's an explosive quarterback that can throw the ball all over the field. But I think around, we just got to be complimentary, whether it's on offense or defense and special teams. You know, Ben's still got the goods. Anyone that tells you otherwise, They haven't really looked at football. You know, you give that guy a good running game and tell him he doesn't have to throw the ball 50, 60 times, he's going to be that much more dangerous. And I think we're looking forward to that. And it's going to be, you know, pretty good for him longevity-wise if he wants to keep playing.
All right, so Marcus, Cam Hayward, outstanding player in his own right and always a great teammate. Do you believe that Ben Roethlisberger can return to form like Cam Hayward does?
I'm not sure if we have anybody big enough to just remove me from my seat and put Cam Hayward in my seat, because we about to say the same damn thing. Okay, this is about where Ben is in his career. It's not about if Ben can throw the ball 50 yards. He can. It's not about if Ben can operate an offense with his arm at a high level. He can. It's just when you asking them to do it 50 times a game without a complimentary run game. Obviously, we talked about that last year with how anemic they were running the ball out of the backfield. Obviously, they go get Najee Harris in the draft. So hopefully the plan is to become a more balanced offense. Y'all, listen, we can go back to the Cincinnati Bengals game, the second game, the second time they played them in the season. It was all figured out. The Bengals gave the blueprint to everybody else, and that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers wasn't able to have that same type of success. What they did was just set on routes, because they knew that this offense was predicated on extended handoffs, basically. Quick five-yard passes and let guys make plays. Ben Roethlisberger needs a run game. And think about this. It's not even about his age. Think about when Ben won Super Bowls. Think about when he first came into the league. Think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, period. They run the football. That is the thing you worry about when you're defending against the Pittsburgh Steelers, is a dominant run game. I was there playing defense for the Cowboys during the Le'Veon Bell years. We were worried about giving up 200 yards rushing. We were hoping that they would drop Ben back 50, 60 times a game. Here's the bottom line.
That's right.
Ben Roethlisberger can still play quarterback at a high enough level to put Pittsburgh in a great situation. He cannot do it if you're going to ask him to throw it 50, 60 times a game.
Yeah, I agree with that, Swagger. When you look at this, like, I think Roethlisberger played elite for what he was asked to do last year, in all honesty. When you look at their game plans going out and stretching out through the season, you know, we showed the QBRs and the touchdown interception ratios and all that kind of stuff. How about after about week 7, everybody in the league looked at it and goes, hey, this ain't changing. You know, corners walk down. Linebackers get tight to the line of scrimmage. Defensive linemen, rush 2 steps and get your hands up and knock the ball down. Like, it's not complicated to stop a team that's going to throw the ball 50 times. You heard Villanueva, their offensive tackle, who now left and went with the Ravens, and he talked about, you knew going in every week that it was going to be a whole lot more throwing than running. Well, back to Swagoo's point, you got to put your hand in the dirt. You got to go hit people in the mouth. Even if it's not always effective, it's that complimentary football that you always hear about that opens up play action. Now the intermediate routes open up. Now that deep ball that Roethlisberger was known for so many years, it gets home, because there is something that you have to play, which is step up and play the run. When all you're defending is a one-dimensional football team, there is no way to be productive in the NFL. Their offensive line was bad last year. They were way too passive, way too soft. The mentality and scheme has to change for the Steelers to keep this thing going.
So, Swagoo, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, always says the standard is the standard. And he has never had a losing season as a head coach 14 years into that side of the business. So the playoffs are basically the standard in Pittsburgh. Can Ben Roethlisberger guide the Steelers back to the playoffs this season?
You know, Phil, I like watching a lot of music, a lot of those music shows, the contests that they have with people trying to win them. And a lot of times those judges know that people are good singers, but they say not right now. Mm. And that's what I'm going to say about the Pittsburgh Steelers. The jury is still out. If they don't formulate a run game, no, they won't make the playoffs. And that hurts me, because Mike Tomlin is a hell of a coach, and we've seen Pittsburgh overcome even not having Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback and almost making the playoffs. It's not about the Steelers. It's about everybody else in the AFC. It's about teams getting better. You look at these rosters preseason-wise, the Steelers ain't there as normal as we usually see them to have that ability to compete, let alone in their own division with Baltimore and Cleveland.
That's right. Yeah, Baltimore, Cleveland in your own division, and you're looking at the wild card in the AFC. If you can't win it, you're in trouble. And I'm with you, man. Betting against Tomlin, it's like painful. You know, there are very few things that are what I consider tough questions. This is tough because you believe in what Mike Tomlin does. I mean, he took with no quarterback, they went 8-8. I mean, it's insane what this guy can do. I just think they're with the roster the way it is constructed, unless there's a major change, it's going to be tough for him to make it.
All right, we shall see, but I feel like we're getting way too bogged down in the stuff that I'm not sure it really matters. And you'll understand why in just a moment, because we've got a pair of big men on the show. We want to show some love for how these guys are the best athletes. What do you think of this Santebi coast left tackle? What do you think?
Let's go.
Saturday, what do you got there, man? Your old squad showing out.
Look at this. Look at him. Look at him as he's looking up and he's finding the ball. He's tracking the ball. Hey, hand-eye coordination. We can do everything at offensive line. We understand what we got to do, man. You just got to give us an opportunity. Maybe split him out, tackle eligible. Let's make this thing happen. You know what I mean, Spears?
Talk to him, Jeff. Talk to him. They know damn well the best athletes reside on the line of scrimmage. I tell them that every week with Big Man Ballin', and we continue to prove it. The best athletes in the NFL are on the defensive and offensive line, period.
I have nothing to say because both of you guys could put me in a blender. But speaking of great athletes, tonight we've got some of the best in the world. That's right. The Lakers and the Warriors are in the ESPN play-in game at 10 p.m. tonight. We'll show you the best NFL play-in games of all time, featuring Joe Cool in his twilight season with the Chiefs, Victor Cruz hit the salsa on the Cowboys, plus much more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Let's get back for a little bit more quick reads.
It'd be your own people.
Well, let's have some fun. Let's play sort of a scenario where the NFL had a play-in game. Which team would each of you trust the most in that scenario? Jeff Saturday, you get first chops.
I'm going Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, you got Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback right now, and when you look at their offensive line being retooled, I feel very comfortable. I mean, I think it was an anomaly what happened in the Super Bowl with two offensive linemen going down and Mahomes getting chased all over the park. But I think if you had a shot right now with what Veach has done, their general manager, the offensive line to bolster it, this is a team you would go for a play-in.
Jeff, you took mine, but I'm going to take the best thing that's probably been the most for sure thing, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's absolutely because Tom Brady has influenced the culture. But that defense, man, I expect them to be as advertised like they were last year. And look, Tom Brady in a one-game situation, you got to bet the house, man.
I like it.
Look, I obviously believe in those teams. Look, if I'm taking a team, I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm taking the Bucks. I'm taking one of those guys. But what I really have liked, what I've seen from the Titans, like late in the regular season, in a situation where it would probably be a play-in game, is that they always come up with some magic late in the game, fourth quarter kind of team that suddenly Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, turn it on, Mike Vrabel gets his defense rolling. I just think they're a dangerous team in those types of situations.
Yeah, all good picks right there. It does feel like most roads lead back to either Kansas City or Tampa Bay. Pivoting to Philadelphia, where Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni has not publicly named Jalen Hurts the starting quarterback, citing the importance of creating the competition in every position, including QB. Joe Flacco and Jamie Newman are the other quarterbacks on the roster. Hurts weighed in on this earlier today.
Everybody got to go to work, you know. So for me, I know rent is due every day. It's always been that way for me. Always been a get better mentality every day, grow every day, be a better leader every day, be a better quarterback every day. And when that rent's due, I don't plan on missing no payments. So it's work.
Jeff Saturday, I love the mindset of Jalen Hurts, a determined young man, but do you think the fact that Sirianni hasn't yet named him the starter is a reflection of Jalen Hurts, or is this more that the coach is being sincere in his desire to create competition?
Yeah, this is just a culture move by Sirianni, right? It's all the same. Everybody's going to compete for a job, including our starting quarterbacks, and, you know, we're all in this thing together. Here's what we're going to do. The reality is Jalen Hurts is going to be week one starter, guaranteed. So, you know, when you look at Jalen Hurts, though, I think his attitude is perfect. I mean, this guy, whether it be at Bama or in Oklahoma, you name it, like this kid, he does have that mindset. He's going to go out and compete and go fight for it, and whatever it is, it is. You saw him even last year with Wentz there. He's not afraid to fight for something and battle for it. So, you respect the attitude, but I think in my mind, this is just a head coach trying to set culture early and get everybody believing and having the same buy-in. Hurts is going to be your guy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. And listen, man, like let's get real on NFL Live right quick.
Do it.
You can have in your mind that you want to be the leader all you want. You better go ball. Ain't nobody following nobody that ain't balling.
Yeah.
Especially at that position.
That's right.
Like, look, for all of the nice feels about what guys say and how they express themselves. And look, I'm gonna tell y'all this. I was covering Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama. A natural born leader and a natural born winner. All of those traits is why Philly took him in the second round. Okay, but the bottom line is Jalen Hurts went 1-3 last year. And if he go 1-3 to start this damn season off, ain't nobody going to be talking about no leadership. They're going to be talking about who Philly need to put in at quarterback, or they need to be looking at the future as far as the quarterback position. So I wish and I hope Jalen Hurts the best. I think he's built for these type of moments, these type of competitions. I've seen him do it time after time. But the bottom line is that play is what's going to lead the leadership.
Yeah.
So Saturday, I'm with you. I hear the coach speak, the cliche and all that, but I also am prone to believe Nick Sirianni when he says this. Well, I mean, and honestly, I'd respect him less if he didn't. What body of work does he have from Jalen Hurts to suggest that Hurts is absolutely a starter in the NFL? Not only that, he doesn't really know Jalen Hurts yet. I mean, they have not really gotten a chance to spend enough time together to sit there and say, oh, this is my guy. He's going to be the day one starter. Like, I feel you. The odds obviously are with him here. But Nick Sirianni saying that he's got to compete and win this job, I see literally nothing wrong with it. And I would actually argue that in this case, it's actually more than just coach speak.
Well, I mean, what you're telling me is you believe either Newman or Flacco is going to potentially outplay him in the preseason. My point is, I don't think that's even close. Right, you know what I mean? That may be different. But when I look at this, I just look at this team as one that knows the direction they want to head. Roseman, this is where he wants to go with it. So, you know, again, Sirianni, he may be preaching exactly what he believes, but we all know when it all comes down, cutting the mustard, that kid is going to get the first go at it, and you got to ride or die with it.
Things change,
guys,
man.
Jalen Hurts became the starter. Jalen Hurts became the starter when they traded Carson Wentz. All right? I mean, come on now. Joe Flacco ain't coming in there to compete for no starting job. They know what Joe Flacco is. Jamie Newman was the guy that was thought to be one of the top quarterbacks. Obviously, he decided to opt out. But I got you, Jeff. I understand what you're saying. I 100%. The NFL should be built on competition. Number one, at least
it's May 19th, guys. It's May 19th.
Saturday, I know, man, but golly, bro, if you telling me Joe Flacco going to start for the Eagles might as well forfeit the season.
I'm just wondering if moves could be made. I'm just saying, hey, there's a lot of time.
There is a lot of time.
Maybe moves could be made.
Well, true.
That's
they
right.
May, they Jeff, can make some moves. They can make some moves. I agree with you
potential foreshadowing there out of Jeff Darlington as we are now a little under 4 months, but still a long ways away from the start of the NFL regular season. And speaking of the NFL regular season, a certain Hall of Fame-bound tight end, we call him Gronk, he is hyped for the game of the year in Foxborough in a revenge matchup for the ages between Brady and Belichick. Hear what he had to say about it next.
I put my heart in it, my guts, my sweat, my tears. I've been doing this thing since the start of it. Come on.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Certainly not far-fetched to say the game of the year is week four between Brady and Belichick in Foxborough. You know, Gronk, part of this as well, shares plenty of memories with these two and is already getting hyped for this matchup. He shared his thoughts on facing his former team yesterday.
That's going to be crazy. It's going to be pretty epic. I mean, it's definitely going to be emotional for sure, I would say. Probably the best 9 years of my life. It was the beginning of my, basically my whole football career there. So it's definitely going to be heartfelt when I go back. And I just got to be prepared for that game for sure. I got to be prepared for every game, but especially that one. It's never going to be easy, and it's going to be tough, but it's going to be different.
All right, Saturday, you have some familiarity with facing your former team. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, very emotional. And I think he speaks right. It's more about calming yourself down as opposed to getting hyped up. You'll have plenty of emotion, but you want your old team to feel it, right? And when I went back to Indianapolis, and Aaron Rodgers, I think we're up 20 points at one time, and then Reggie Wayne has like a career day, 200 plus yards. They end up beating us, and they did some tribute to me that I could barely keep the tears from rolling down my face. So it is very emotional, and Gronk is being honest. Man, it is an intense experience, especially when you've had success in a place and it's an endeared place in your heart. It's tough to go back and play.
Marcus, from Bill Belichick's perspective, do you think he has any regrets letting Tom Brady go and eventually sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
No, not at all, Phil. We heard Bill Belichick talk about this, about leveraging the future in order to win Super Bowls. He got three in that window. Max Kellerman said Brady was falling off a cliff during that time, and Belichick was being questioned about his draft and his drafting ability. He does work in free agency. It's what the dude been doing for the last 20 years. Free agency has been his calling card to winning Super Bowls. If anybody want to go back and check the moves that he's made, especially on the defensive side, as far as bringing guys in, he drafted well in the Will Fork area and Willie McGinnis. I go all the way back to that. The whole notion that Tom Brady goes and wins a Super Bowl in Tampa and Bill Belichick is supposed to question his career is asinine. Why? Why? He's won eight Super Bowls over his career, right? Six with the New England Patriots. We got to stop with the whole Tom Brady went to Tampa, so Belichick is jealous. I want to be jealous. I want to be jealous with eight Super Bowl rings. Please, please make me jealous in that way. Man, listen, I'm looking forward to the matchup. I'm looking forward to Bill Belichick, who's a mastermind on the defensive side of the football with all of his guys back, versus Tom Brady and that offense and trying to figure it out. That is the love for me when it comes to this game. The chess match that will be played between Bill Belichick, defensive mind, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, and Byron Leftwich, offensive mind.
Well, I'm glad you said it that way, Swaggy. I'll ask you, Jeff, Saturday. How do you believe Bill Belichick will approach this game on the field in defending Tom Brady for the first time as the opposing coach?
Yeah, he ain't going to change, right? I played against him for 14 years, and he never changed. He's going to make you beat him with your third option. And the scary part for that is that could be Gronk, right? I mean, when you think about what they have there in Tampa and what they like to do, how sweet would that be for Gronk and Brady to be going against Belichick? I can't wait. I'm with Swaggoo, man. This is going to be a heck of a game just from a football schematic process. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You guys are so boring. I mean, you're such football players, right, Field? Like, you're such football players. I'm here for the drama. I want to fight at the 50-yard line. I want Tom Brady and Bill Belichick throwing down and Gronk coming in at the end with the haymaker. I want the whole deal, man. Football.
I feel like there might be a flag or two involved. All right, we'll see whether that happens, Jeff Darnton. I feel like there's at least a chance, but maybe it's a little bit unlikely. The NFL might crack down on that before it ever happens. So, of course, the reason why we're already thinking about the game of the year in the NFL is because we have the game of the season tonight in the NBA, the play-in game between LeBron and Steph. And it's time for one more thing. As you know, LeBron has an undeniable case as one of the two best players in NBA history. But during his high school days, he was a gridiron star as well. As a matter of fact, LeBron has previously stated that he could have made it to the NFL if he had stuck to football. All right, Swaggoo, you're a multi-sport star in your own right back in the day. You find the idea that LeBron could have played in the NFL?
Absolutely. Did you see who the Atlanta Falcons just drafted this year by the name of Kyle Pitts? Look,
exactly.
Jeff Saturday, Jeff Darlington, Babyface, In the NFL, if you're athletic and you're coordinated, they'll find a way to get you open. They'll find a way to get you one-on-one matchups. You telling me a 6'8 guy with almost a 50-inch vertical that's built like a football player on a basketball court couldn't come and dominate this league on the outside?
Yes.
Nah, LeBron would have been fine in the NFL. He just would have had to worry about his knees.
Hey, Urban Meyer's got a spot for him.
Jeff, spicy yeah, today, Saturday. Last word goes to you, Jeff Saturday. You buy it?
Heck yeah, I buy it, man. You talk about, look at what Swagoo just said. That dude is a legit athlete, bro. He can do whatever he wants to do. Just
there
put a ball
go.
In his hand. He'll make you good.
Be sure to watch the NBA play-in game tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.